Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal, where I'm joined once again by James Benj because it is time for Inside Arsenal Extra Time. James, how are you doing, mate? All good?
I'm great. April the 11th, here we are. Who would have thought we would have made it? Who could ever have imagined all those dramatic events that happened in Arsenal versus Bayern Munich that we are fully abreast of as we record this podcast?
Yes, so slight disclaimer here, people. What James is getting at in James's own unique humour is that we are pre-recording this show. It is, in fact, April the 4th. We have, in fact, just finished last week's Inside Arsenal Extra Time, but I'm away on holiday at the moment that you are at the time you are watching or listening to this. So we are pre-recording the show. So there's not going to be any chat about Aston Villa or any chat about Bayern Munich and what happened in the first leg, which hopefully will be a nice 4-0 win and Harry Kane gets sent off and misses the second leg. But because of it pre-recording, that is all very much in the future. So we have no idea what is happening. So you're not going to get any sort of topical debate of what's happened in the last week or so at Arsenal. This is a bit of a special Inside Arsenal Extra Time because of circumstances. And we're going to do it purely...
He's on the centre part rapids.
I am currently, yes, probably chasing my son and my daughter down the rapids at Elvenham Forest Centre Parks as we speak. So we're going to do a bit of a special. We're going to base it around the player of the season. We're about at that stage of the season now where we can talk about player of the season. I mean, the voting's already taken place for the main awards. So myself and James are going to be debating who our Arsenal player of the season is going to be. Obviously, you never know, things might happen in the next 6 weeks that might change it, so this could be an episode that we revisit a little bit later on down the line. But we are going to sort of go over some of the contenders. We're going to talk about maybe our top three or five contenders, and then at the end we're both going to name who our Arsenal player of the season is and see who is right. I'm pretty sure it'll be me, but we shall wait and see. So I mean, this is a slightly weird one, James, as we are not talking about anything about in terms of what's actually happened to Arsenal. But I imagine in this conversation, the sort of contenders that we're both going to have are going to be pretty similar. There might be the odd one, which the other person won't have. But let's start, shall we? Yeah, I think I'll hand over to you in terms of where we're going to start with. So who would your, I don't know, three or five contenders for the Arsenal player of the season be based on what you've seen so far this season? And don't tell me who, we don't name who your number one choice is. Yeah. Well, you know, don't put it in any sort of order. We'll say that at the end.
I think there are some obvious names that maybe we can even just sort of park momentarily, because we will want to speak about them. I feel like maybe there's a sort of pool of about seven that if someone said that name to me, I would say, okay, I think you've got a reasonable view there. And one that I don't think would be my player of the year, but that I did want to shout out, sort of, if I had a sort of ballot like they have in like American sport where you put your top five, he would be right on the cusp of the ballot. And that would be David Raya, who we haven't spoken about in weeks, months. And that is always, always a good thing in a goalkeeper. Arsenal don't, this is when you really worry about pre-recording a week early, but Arsenal don't make stupid mistakes anymore, or very rarely do. And I think a large part of that is down to the authority and the charisma with which David Raya defends, is the wrong word, isn't it? It's like he attacks his own goal. Mm-hmm. Everything is aggressive and front-footed. And I don't think even as... It's almost like we've stopped talking about Raya and Ramsdale, but we haven't really spoken enough about just how, yeah, how much more front-footed in defence Raya makes Arsenal as a sweeper keeper, as someone that comes for every single cross, someone that really doesn't get blown off course. Even, you know, we're a few days out from that Etihad game. He kept playing the passes, even when he was shanking them. And sometimes that's what you, all you can ask, really. I think he's been a revelation. And I think a £27 million fee that they will activate is a bargain.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly would. I don't think he'd be in my top five, but I think he certainly deserves a lot of praise for how he has come in, how he's sort of navigated those first tricky couple of months, which could have broken a lot of players, I suppose. I mean, we've seen it before. Really good players coming into a new club, the spotlight's on them, and they can't quite handle the constant pressure they're under. And he had some difficult moments, and he came through them. I think he had the backing of his manager, which really, really helped. You know, Arteta's belief in David Raya was pretty unwavering, and I think that definitely helped him. And I think he's proven to be a really, really good addition. Like you said, the debate about Raya and Ramsdale, it feels like that's been parked now. Everyone knows he's number one. I think that's probably helping David Raya as well. The fact that it isn't constantly what's going on with Raya, what's going on with Ramsdale. Everyone knows that he is Arteta's number one. I think he's at the time of recording this, he's three ahead of any other goalkeeper in the race for the Golden Glove, isn't he? He's kept three more clean sheets than anyone, and obviously didn't play the first few games of the season because Ramsdale did. How much of that is down to Raya, though? Is up for debate. I would say the two players playing in front of him, potentially the three players playing in front of him, if you put Declan Rice into the mix of that as well, are having a big say in the amount of clean sheets that Arsenal are conceding. But he is the goalkeeper, so he takes credit for those as well. I think he's done great. I think he's been a really good addition. I think he has certainly improved Arsenal. I think he's definitely, you know, at the time we both said, didn't we? We thought he was an upgrade on Aaron Ramsdale. I still believe that is the case. And he certainly deserves to come in for a lot of praise. But I have to say, he wouldn't be one of the players that I would be debating for a player of the season.
One final word on this, because this amused me when you were sort of saying that, you know, how much of the Golden Glove thing is down to his goalkeeping. So he's at 24 games. He's made 35 saves as we speak right now. Jordi Petrovic, the Chelsea number one, in 13 games has made 45 saves. It's so weird when you're doing goalkeepers, because obviously, like, you know, if you play for the best teams, you actually tend to not look very good statistically. I really like him. And I kind of wanted to give him his flowers. I'd have him in my top five.
Have you got the stats up there in terms of how many goals conceded he has conceded for Arsenal and what his XG is in terms of how many goals he should have conceded?
Yeah, he should have conceded one fewer.
One fewer. But he's actually caught up with that, because there was a greater golf in that, isn't it? Not too long ago.
When the sample size is as small as it is for Raya, it's very easy for that to get blown off course by, you know, obviously one or two errors, but also just, you know, some goals that look great on XG don't look great on XG, but actually they're quite hard to save. So small sample size. Mm-hmm.
Well, while we're on the topic then of players who probably aren't, you know, right in the mix for a Player of the Season award, but deserve some flowers, shall we say, when we're discussing it, here are a couple that I think deserve to be in the conversation, if not right at the top of it. And that's Jorginho and Ben White. I think Jorginho has just been brilliant this season. Whenever called upon, you know, he's not been called upon loads, but whenever he's played in big games that he's played, he has performed really, really well. I think he's been exceptional, and he deserves an awful lot of credit for what he's done for Arsenal. And I think he's been a brilliant, brilliant signing. Ben White as well, who, if you were starting this award from January onwards, would be right up there in terms of his level of performances. I think he did, by the sort of standards that he'd set maybe the previous season, I think he struggled a little bit the first half of the season, maybe because of injury. He was, you know, obviously carrying something that was impacting his game a little bit. That seems to have cleared up post-Dubai, and he's just been fantastic since then. So I think he definitely deserves some praise for what he's produced this season alongside Jorginho. I think those two would probably fall when I'm assessing it, into that kind of David Raya bracket that you were just talking about.
Yeah. I mean, White in particular, like the cult hero of this Arsenal team. You know, you could, if you wanted to put him top, like if anyone watching this said he's been the player of the season, I'd have no qualms with that at all. Like you say, he dropped off a bit, but it sort of makes me think of a slightly upgraded Nacho Monreal, who you and I both had parts of our career where we spend our whole life doing player ratings. And at the 85th minute, you'd be like, Nacho Monreal? Yep, 7 out of 10 again. White's that, but an 8 out of 10. So 8 out of 10 he is. And right now, I feel like we're seeing him blossom into the best English right back out there. And, you know, that's a hard fight, that one. But I think he is right now on form the best right back in England.
Yeah, just a brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant player. And remember the conversation when Arsenal signed Ben White and Manchester United signed Varane? Remember the social media conversation of who got the best deal out of that? And and people laughing at £50 million for Ben White. Not laughing so much now, are they? Right, let's talk about some of the main contenders then, shall we? I'll go first. Last season's player of the season, Martin Odegaard. Just been brilliant. Once again, joy to watch. Leader. Maybe hasn't scored the same amount of goals that he scored last season, but I think he's into double figures now at the time of recording this for Premier League anyway, or the season. Maybe not Premier League, all competitions. But just been absolutely brilliant. He's the glue that holds this team together, in my opinion. If you take Odegaard, I think out of anyone in this team now, if Arsenal had an injury to anyone that would have the biggest impact, I think it'd be Odegaard. I think if they lost Odegaard, it would be a real, real struggle to cope with that for any serious amount of time. I just think he's brilliant. He's one of the best players in the world. He's going to get better and better as well, which is just such an exciting thing to say. I love watching. Remember the quote? Who was it about? Was it about Riziki? Was it about Santi? When Wenger says, if you love football, yes, you love Cazorla, you love Riziki. I can't remember which player. It might have been both of them he said it about. But yeah, that's the kind of quote that's just in my head when I think about Martin Odegaard. It's like, how can you not love watching him play what he does? And he does it at any level. You know, the notion that he doesn't turn up in big games is long gone. And, you know, he's just a fantastic footballer. And last season's player of the season, and absolutely, in my mind, right up there once again.
Character of the guy. He just gets on with it. He's, you know, quiet excellence in his leadership. And I think the thing for me is he's, like you said at the top there, he, you know, goals-wise and maybe sort of big picture performance-wise, he hasn't been quite as good as last season. But in many ways, I think you can take the positives from that of going, okay, that wasn't a freak season. And like, you know, if he's a bit less, if he's 98% of last season's Odegaard, 95%, you still have, like you say, one of the best players in the world. And what's fun is all the players we've got after this are all players who are one of the best players in the world, certainly in their position. And kind of wild. Also, in that picture you've got there, the hair looks sensational.
Oh, what I'd do for that. Yeah.
So important, I think, that Arsenal continue to... The one key part of Wenger's legacy that must remain unbroken is that we have smart, well-coiffured young men playing for Arsenal.
I don't even think his performance levels have dipped from last season. I think he's maintained those levels. I think his goal level has dipped. I'm not overly surprised at that because he was just so clinical last season from those shots just from outside the box. You know, I don't know what assists he's on, but it feels like he could have 10 more assists this season than he's on. So many big chances feels like haven't been taken from his passes. And I think the pressing he does is just... I get tired watching Martin Odegaard. I can't even imagine what he must feel like after games. The running he does and the example he sets with the lead in the press. It's just a remarkable engine on him. It really, really is. And I think this is the biggest compliment, like I said, that I can pay him, is that if Arsenal lost him out of more than any other player, I'd be worried. I'd be so much more worried than anyone. And I think that's a big compliment that you can pay him. So, Martin Odegaard, now that's my first choice. Go on, you give me someone then.
Well, possibly the only man that you'd be more worried if he wasn't in the team, William Saliba, who we should say Have you got any wood nearby? Touch it. 30 games played, 2,700 minutes of football in the Premier League. He has not missed a minute. And without him, Arsenal don't miss a beat. I think kind of when I've kind of got towards the highest echelons, I've ended up doing this really harsh thing where I'm like, oh yeah, but Saliba and Odegaard were sensational last season. And maybe the players that just take player of the season for me, and this is all, you know, in your own eyes, are the ones that have maybe taken a bit of a leap. Saliba hasn't taken a leap, but he didn't need to. And the joy is we were coming into this season wondering if his fitness would hold, you know, would that issue with the back flare up again. Not an inch of it. I don't think he's made a mistake all year, one or two. And at such a young age, he just has an aura. He is the one, I think, when the opposition stand in the tunnel, that they will see him and they'll see how tall he is and they know how quick he is. And they think, good God, how are we ever going to score a goal against this guy? He's also become, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but I'm certain his touches, his passes, all those things will have shot up. You know, in the back three as it's set up this year, he's been at the centre of the back three. He's also kind of been a one-man right flank defensively when Ben White has inverted. Arteta has asked a lot of Saliba, and in every way Saliba has delivered with maturity and with composure. And if it weren't for so many other players in this squad, you'd say future Arsenal captain. I hope he's around for his career. I love that he seems to have fallen deeply in love with this club as well. That's it. I can't say much more. I could say loads more, but he is just world class.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't really think there's anything more I can add to it. I think you're absolutely bang on. Everything you said is correct. He's been brilliant once again. I think you're right. So going into this season, given how last season ended, given that back injury, like, was that going to impact him? Was he going to be able to maintain the level that we saw last season? Was last season going to prove to be, you know, the sort of highest level we can reach? And then sometimes you see these talented young, you know, reach that level from a certain age and then struggle to maintain it. But, you know, all the question marks just answered like that. He's just been absolutely brilliant. And the word sort of generational talent gets thrown around a lot in modern day football, doesn't it? But he is absolutely that. And just got a bit of feedback on the microphone there. He's just been fantastic. And you sort of look at the performance level recently. We saw Arsenal go up to Manchester City, that 0-0 draw, and he was just, after a little bit of a nervy start, I thought, in that game, he was just brilliant. You know, he got man of the match. I actually gave man of the match to Gabriel, but the two of them together. And I think when you sort of talk about Saliba, don't you, you kind of have to talk about them as a pair, because they just come together. They work together so well. The stats prove it. The numbers prove it. They're just so hard to get past. And it's just an absolute centre-back pairing that, for the ages, really, it's going to go down, hopefully going to go down alongside some of the legendary centre-back pairings Arsenal have had. And, you know, you talk about Saliba, but you've got to talk about Gabriel as well in the same breath. He's just been fantastic this season for me, Gabriel. Absolute leader, warrior on the pitch. I loved his battle with Haaland at the Etihad. It was just so entertaining to watch. And a lot of people talked about the sort of how that game was pretty boring for the neutral, but sitting there watching Haaland versus Gabriel for 90 minutes was just brilliant. And you could see Gabriel reveled in it. He wanted to win that duel. He did win that duel. He took lots of joy out of it. Can do it in his box, obviously. Can do it in the other box. Absolute goal threat, scores goals, causes chaos when he attacks set pieces. And yeah, just a brilliant player. And it just seems so mad at the start of the season he wasn't in this starting 11, doesn't it? It's really, you look at what's gone on since then, and it just makes that sort of four-week period at the start of the season even more crazy than it was at the time. I think we all know the kind of, certainly some of the reasons behind that with the interest from Saudi Arabia. But yeah, what a player. What a brilliant, brilliant signing he has been.
This guy's the Arsenal story of the last few years in microcosm. A really promising footballer, a triumph of recruitment by Mikel Arteta and Edu, one of their first great swings and huge, you know, swinging and sending it flying for six. Even last season, you could see him coming on leaps and bounds, but maybe the composure wasn't there for him to be the centre-back of a title winner, a Champions League winner, and it's there now. It just is. And like you say, a bully at set pieces at both ends, a bully in open play, but has developed this composure that at 26, we should say, like, you know, a lot of centre-backs are still finding their game. And I think Gabriel has found his. He came very close to being the one I was going to pick the player. Yeah. Very close.
In another world, Gabriel was playing for Everton. Can you imagine that? He had a medical. Can you imagine Gabriel as an Everton player?
I remember when the Spurs took that late pop at Saliba as well.
Yeah, true. Very true. Very true.
Dark times that would be.
So I would say we're both going to have this man in the conversation once again. You know, no stranger to winning the Arsenal Player of the Season award, Bukayo Saka. You look at, sort of open this up a little bit to who's going to win the Premier League Player of the Season. And the voting's already going on for that. Phil Foden's going to be right in the mix for that award, I think, at the end of this season. I think Pep's already said, Pep named him as the best player in the league this season, didn't he? Or a few weeks ago. Yeah, Foden, he's got another hat-trick to his name at the time of recording this yesterday, but time of watching this, obviously, last week when he scored the hat-trick against Aston Villa. I'm looking at the stats here for this season, for Foden and for Saka. You got Foden goals 14, Saka 13. Assists for Foden 7, assists for Saka 8. Chances created Foden 59, chances created Saka 67. Tackles made Foden 27, tackles made Saka 53. Take on success, Foden's just shaved it 50% to 46%. Ball recoveries, Saka's ahead. Touches in the opposition box, Saka's miles ahead. So Phil Foden is in the running and a real favourite to win Premier League Footballer of the Year. Why is Saka not really being considered for that this season? In a season that I think we all probably think he hasn't quite hit the heights that we've come to expect from Bukayo Saka.
Because those of us on the who kind of cleave more towards the Arsenal side of the narrative would possibly put another Arsenal player higher in the mix. I think Phil Foden's wonderful. I don't think he's been the best player in the league. And I don't necessarily think he's far ahead of Saka. A lot of the time, of course, this wasn't true for the Villa game where he scored a hat-trick, but a lot of the time, Foden is the second or third man sweeping in with a killer blow, or he's the one scoring the third goal in the 4-0 win. I don't want anything I say here to be sort of taken as like a, I don't think Phil Foden is very good. I think Phil Foden is wonderful. If he wins the Player of the Year, you know, fair play. It wouldn't be my vote, but you only get to vote for one. I don't think it would be an outrage, but I think Arsenal rely on Saka more than City rely on Foden. And I think if you took Phil Foden out of the City team, results would not really change in a meaningful way. If you took Saka out, dependent on the opposition, they could very significantly.
How do you assess Saka's season then?
Yeah, like you say, not perfect. not like it feels like the first season where he's plateaued, but that's fine because he's plateaued as one of the best young footballers in the world. One of the
16 goals in all comps for Arsenal this season, Saka. And we're in time recording this start of April.
Still feel like we're not seeing the best of him. I think all of that can be true, and it and then you say all that, and then you stop and you realize that that just this shows you how special this guy is, and the fact that he belongs among the very best in the world. I thought he was a bit off early in the season, came back too soon from injury, kind of as we speak, another injury. So it's been probably the first season where he's had a few setbacks and knockbacks, and in all that time, he's still just sensational.
Yeah. I definitely don't think he's been at his best this season, but I think it's a real positive sign that we're saying that, and he's still scored 16 goals. And, you know, I think he's into double figures of assists as well in all competitions as well. I think the way he's adapted to the Champions League as well has been really good to see. First season in the Champions League, you know, first step up for him in that competition, and he's just looked perfectly at home in it, scored some really big goals for Arsenal. So, yeah, I think by his own standards, maybe slightly lower threshold this season than we've seen before, but still been a really, really good, strong season for a player, like you say, who Arsenal was so reliant on, who turned to so much to make something happen when they need something happen. For a young player to sort of carry that burden on his shoulders and do it so consistently over the last sort of 2-3 seasons deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, who knows, if Arsenal go on and win something in the next 6 weeks, you would not bet against it being Bukayo Saka who does it for them in those big moments, in those big, big games. And I think that says all that needs to be said, really, about him. Right, there's one player we haven't spoken about yet who I'm pretty sure we're both going to have right up there. Arsenal's £105 million bargain, Declan Rice. I'll hand it over to you to talk about Sir Declan.
What can you say? Attitude, versatility, intelligence. He has a centre-back's reading of the game. He has character, class, swagger, leadership. Neither of us doubted that Declan Rice would be a success at Arsenal for a minute. I could never have imagined he would be this good this quickly. And I could never... I can't imagine how Arsenal were successful without him. If it isn't for the pesky presence of Rodri as perhaps the best player in the world, Rice would be the best player in his position as a six and as an eight. You know what, as well, it's the little things that matter. He's come in and he's fully bought into the culture. He's understood how he can be a leader without necessarily having to wear the armband, although clearly he wants to wear the armband. Did you see those quotes a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I did.
Should anything happen to Odegaard? It's the sort of thing you say when you're like attaching a silencer to a gun, isn't it? And yeah, his ability to deliver in the big moments, that goal against Manchester United, which I think is where this picture's from. The goal against Luton. Yeah, sensational. £105 million is a steal. And how many more years of Declan Rice do Arsenal have? It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't expect him to be this good. I knew he was going to be great. I knew it was a sort of transformational signing from Arsenal. Arguably, I said it at the time, it was if they got it over the line, it would be their biggest, the most important deal since Sol Campbell in terms of what it meant. And I knew he was going to be great. But I've been blown away by Declan Rice this season. I just think he's been fantastic. He's got so many levels to his game that I didn't realise he had. Like you said, the way he's adapted to playing as an eight as well, the goals he's scored, the assists he's got, the set piece delivery, the leadership. He must be so horrible to play against. I mean, literally must do opposition players' heads in. I remember one time, he was like that annoying player that I used to play with at five-a-side every now and again. You'd come up against and you'd think, I hate him. I can't get a ball past him. And so you go to the other side of the pitch just to get away from him. You get the ball and suddenly he's there nicking it away from you again. Like, I've just left you behind 20 yards away. How have you got back and got back there? He's just everywhere on a pitch. He makes Arsenal better. Yeah, he's just been absolutely brilliant. I mean, it sounds stupid saying labeling £105 million footballer a bargain, but he is worth every single penny and more that Arsenal have paid for him. And if they do go on to win the title this season or the Champions League this season, if they do go on to win it over the next couple of years, Declan Rice will be so integral to that success. And you can understand why Mikel Arteta was so desperate to get him. And I'm just so thankful he didn't end up at Manchester City, because that is such a terrifying prospect for the whole of English football. Declan Rice playing at Manchester City, it would have been beyond scary.
I feel like someone does need to like organise a competitively run exhibition match where you can just see what Rice and Rodri would have been like.
But I don't want to see that ever.
Do you have a favourite moment of Rice? Because the one that keeps cropping into my mind, probably because it's the freshest, but it's not a big one. But you'll remember this, the second half at the Etihad, when for about the first time in about six games, someone gets the ball off Rice and it's Kevin De Bruyne. And you're like, ah, De Bruyne's away. Okay. You know, this is a City winner. And Rice just steams through the back of him brilliantly, like a perfectly fair and legal tackle. Within 5-6 yards, like you haven't almost even had a chance to process in your head the fact that you're like, okay, the inevitable City goal is coming. And Rice is like, nope, having that back. Won't be doing that again. And I expect he wasn't tackled again for the
He did an unbelievable tackle on Rodri in that game as well, in front of the penalty area. Declan Rice. Favourite Declan Rice. I mean, the winner at Luton was very, very special, wasn't it? 97th minute. That was fantastic. Like I said, the late winner. Well, it wasn't the winner in the end, was it? Because Jesus scored. But the goal against Manchester United, his first goal for Arsenal. The goal at West Ham was great. The reaction of the West Ham fans around me was just really, really funny when he pinged one in from 30 yards into the top corner to make it 6-0 on his return to the London Stadium. There's been loads of them. So it's just been a pleasure to watch this season, and absolutely fantastic signing. Brilliant that he's at Arsenal. So I think we're probably in agreement that those are the main contenders, the big hitters for this season award. So I'm going to get you to run through your top three in order now. You don't have to do a big spiel on them because we've already done that. You can do a little bit of a spiel on the winner and why he is the winner in your eyes. But go 3-2-1 in your order if you're Arsenal player of the season.
3, Bukayo Saka. 2, the magnificent Gabriel. And 1, for me, was incredibly easy. It just has to be Declan Rice. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, Declan Rice, whoever wins the title, Declan Rice should win PFA, FWA, Premier League Player of the Year. He's changed Arsenal.
Well, my number 3 is Gabriel. Number 2, Martin Odegaard. And number 1 is Declan Rice. I thought we'd probably both be in agreement when it comes to Declan Rice. Odegaard and Gabriel, it was very close. I almost went with number 2 for Gabriel. The two of them have just been so, so good this season. That's kind of a toss of a coin, really, between those two. But Declan Rice, like you said, changed Arsenal. He has absolutely changed Arsenal. He's made him into a completely different animal now. And when it comes to the big honours, although there's not much bigger honour than the Inside Arsenal Extra Time Player of the Season award, to be fair. But when it does come to the big honours,
on the show now, haven't we?
Yeah, that'd be nice. When it comes to those big honours, come the end of the season, those big awards, then he absolutely has to be in the running for those awards because he's just been absolutely brilliant. Anyone else you want to sort of throw into the mix? Anyone else deserve a little bit of praise for you this season?
I think even players like Trossard has had a very good season. Kai Havertz, I think you'd hold the sort of early bits against him, but he's had a great moment. And then you just realise that there are players like, for next season, Jesus, Martinelli, who've maybe not had as good a season. And you go, well, there's nothing stopping them next season. So this is going to be such a hotly contested award for not just this season, but years to come. I mean, the Arsenal one, not ours, because we probably won't remember to do this next year.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get to assess Jurrien Timber, did we? And when you look at him, he was player of pre-season. And then we didn't get to see him, how he performed this season during the season. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on next year. And yeah, it's been a great season, fun season. Hopefully, like I said, you never know. The next 6 weeks, something could change and we might have to reassess this. You know, Martin Odegaard might score a hat trick in every game between now and the end of the season. Bukayo Saka might do that as well. Score a hat trick against Barcelona at Wembley to win Arsenal the Champions League. So we might have to reassess it. But for now, that is our Arsenal player of the season debate. A clear winner, pretty overwhelming winner from the pair of us in Declan Rice. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Do you agree with us? I know there'll be some that will. I know there'll definitely be some that don't. Let us know why in the comments below. And yeah, it'd be great to get you guys involved on that as well. So once again, this was a bit of a sort of a different show this week, pre-recorded because I am away. So if you didn't catch it at the start and you're sort of joining it late, I'm sure you're not. But if you are, then that's why we've done this show today. And there's been no real conversation about what's been going on in terms of the Champions League. Looking ahead, I will be back very, very soon. So next week's show will be as normal, probably after the Bayern Munich second leg. I'm going out to Munich on the Tuesday. I'm still on there Tuesday and Wednesday. James, you're not over in Germany, are you, for that one?
No, I've got some other stuff.
Yeah, of course. It's wedding time, isn't it? So maybe we won't be doing it next week, actually. Yeah, we'll have to...
We will do something, but and it won't be quite so pre-recorded, but hopefully our viewers might accept it if we only get sort of 20, 25 minutes while I'm dashing from one place to another.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So hopefully we'll revisit it next week. So thanks for watching, everyone. Appreciate your time as always. Be back to do it all over again next week, and I'll be doing my usual show in the morning. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Till then, speak to you soon. Bye bye.
See you soon. Bye bye.